And now, an ad from Dad.
All right. Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. My name is Rich Bradbury. It is Tuesday. Earlier in the day, it was pouring it down all day. It was grey. It was miserable. Just like Scotland. Why am I talking about Scotland? Well, we'll be talking a little bit about Macbeth, the Scottish play, if you want to keep all those spirits at bay. In particular, I'll be speaking to one of our own, Lim Soon Heng. He's here to talk to us about Shakespeare Demystified. And now they're moving on. They're performing Macbeth in a couple of places. They're performing here in KL and up in Penang. Essentially, they are taking the bard, breaking it down to its component parts and making it easy to digest. I don't know about you, but when I was at school, Shakespeare was one of those things that I dreaded. It wasn't until later on in life that it finally actually clicked and I finally started to understand it. Maybe he can help me out a little bit. And maybe if you are studying Macbeth or any of Shakespeare's work, Mr. Soon Heng can help you out a little bit too. Also, I have a couple of giveaways this evening. I've got two pairs of tickets to the Crack House Comedy Carnival on the 27th of April this time. And I've also got two Menta Kadara sets at Kukus Steam Habis to give out at TTDI a little bit later on. Listen out for those. I'll be giving them out in a little while. Anyway, time for a short break. We'll be right back after these messages with Lim Soon Heng. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9, the business station. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio this evening by one of our own, Lim Soon Heng. Hello, sir.
Hi, hi, hi.
How are you doing?
I'm okay, I'm okay. I'm glad to be on your show. Never been on your show.
Ever?
Actually, I've never been on anybody's show.
Have you not?
No.
At all? Really?
I try to stay out.
Why? No, no, you don't. No, you don't. I mean, we've worked together an awful long time.
Yeah.
I dread to think how many years.
7 years.
Seven years.
I'm on my seventh year.
You're on your seventh year. So I must be on almost my ninth year then. Eighth or ninth year here. That's going back some time. Now, what I do know about you is that you're heavily involved in the arts and you're very passionate about it. And you're one of these people, you know, who really pushes people to want to do better in the arts as well.
I think so.
I've heard of really? All of these stories, yeah. So I know you've been doing this Shakespeare Demystified thing. Last year you did, it was The Merchant of Venice. This year you've moved on to something a little darker, right?
Right.
The Scottish play, of all things.
We must not mention it.
Absolutely not, no. I'm aware of the problems that it could cause. Now, tell us a little bit about it then, the idea of Shakespeare Demystified.
Well, it started quite a few years ago, you know. We've been performing Shakespeare with other companies, and one of them was actually Othello with Mazzacchini. And in the course of doing these kinds of things, we were invited to a workshop with an Australian from Tasmania. And Jeff, what's Jeff's last name? Jeff came to KL under the sponsorship of the Australian High Commission. Mm. And he was running this workshop on Shakespeare, how to perform Shakespeare. And in the course of that, after a couple of weeks of workshopping with him, we did a showcase performance of different scenes. Then he came back the following year, then a whole full-fledged production of Midsummer Night's Dream. Everybody does Midsummer Night's
Dream.
Right. And then he was supposed to come back again the third year. So this was back in 2008. So 2008 came, 2009 came. Then he was supposed to come back. And then the Australian said, Shakespeare is not Australian, so we're not going to sponsor this anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, no national
identities
are closely tied to this bard.
Right.
Anyway, so once this decision was made that he was not coming back, we decided, okay, we will have to take the ball and run with it.
Yeah.
And a bunch of us got together who were in the workshop with Jeff Kevin. And so we decided that we'll do something. And in the course of developing this idea to perform Shakespeare, we said we'll target at schools and we'll do with a kind of narration that goes with it. And it has evolved over time. We've taken greater liberties narrating and also explaining terminologies. Like we did one show, Many Wives of Windsor.
Yeah.
And we had to explain the word cuckold because we don't use that word
Nobody anymore. Uses that word anymore.
Unless you study Shakespeare.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as a result of that, we found that people love the idea that they're being introduced to words that actually there is currency in using the word cuckold.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so from there, we went on, we did more. So we've been going, this will be our seventh year.
Wow. I mean, and what's the response been like from it? I mean, and who are the kind of people that attend in the audience?
We get a cross-section, but for the most part, maybe about 70 to 80% are students from secondary schools and universities and teacher colleges
right.
in Malaysia. When we first started, I don't know how well you know KL Pack. We were in the Indocini.
I know, yeah.
Yeah. We had about 40 people on the floor,
yeah,
and we spread out our mats, and we performed there. And I remember the very first show, Julius Caesar, we were all without shoes.
Yeah.
And performing, and all we had was just very basic clothes, black, and then with a kind of, I think, not sheets draped around us, Romans, you know?
Right.
But last year, when we performed The Merchant of Venice, we did 31 shows, and we had a combined audience of about a little over 5,000.
Wow. So the audience is
growing
is
with
growing
us.
For growing, sure.
Yeah, growing with us. And we went as far north as Langkawi.
Yeah.
We did one show there. We went down to Johor Bahru twice, and then mostly Greater KL. And we went down Seremban. Folks from Malacca came up.
Yeah.
We were in Penang. Yeah.
Well, that's great news because I have, you know, when we've interviewed artists and performers on one thing or another, one of their major complaints is that the arts is not supported enough, you know.
No, I thoroughly agree with that. We have to do a lot of the work ourselves. Yeah. We have to do the marketing. You know, we have to come up with the money to finance what we do. Yeah.
Yeah. And it must be difficult to convince people that it's still relevant, though, sometimes.
The funny thing is, when we were performing up in Penang, this was when we were doing Hamlet, we had a group of English teachers. When I say English teachers, I'm thinking about people from England who happened to be over here on a holiday. And they saw our performance and they said, you know what? This will work just as well in the UK.
Yeah.
Because kids there too, even though English may be the first language, at least that's how it's perceived, they are struggling with Shakespeare.
Yeah. I mean, when I introduced tonight's show, I was saying, you know, it's something that's kind of pushed on us in the UK at school. You have English language, you have English literature. Shakespeare, obviously, is part of the curriculum. And there are so many kids, you know, even at my grammar school back then, many, many moons ago, it was difficult for people to understand. And I think part of the problem was that even the teachers that were trying to explain it weren't fully versed in how the bard works.
I agree with you because we have gone into some schools and these are teachers who are here from the UK teaching in international schools. And we talk to them about the iambic pentameter.
Right.
And you can see their eyes just kind of...
What foreign language is he speaking to me now?
Yeah. And when we try to get the students to kind of move with the iambic pentameter, you know, young people, you know, they've got the rhythm. And some of these teachers...
Right. I mean, I know what the iambic pentameter is, but for those people who are listening at home, just explain to them what
it is. It's just a heartbeat, you know.
Right.
Words in English are broken down to syllables, just like Malay.
Yeah.
And so in English, most of the time, the sentence are structured in such a way for Shakespeare, a line of 10 syllables, and the first syllable is unstressed.
Yeah.
So unstressed, stress. So it's each foot, which you call it an iamb, is unstressed, stress. So five of these mix an iambic pentameter.
There you go. Wonderful. Right. We're going to take a very short break. Just a quick reminder, though, folks, we do have two giveaways to give away this evening. First, we have two pairs of tickets to the Crack House Comedy Carnival happening on the 27th of April. That's Thursday, the 10:30 p.m. It's featuring AIIA Improv or AIA Improv. So what does the AI in AIIA stand for? Send your answer to 016-201 9000. That's if you want those tickets. However, if you're feeling hungry and fancy a mentakadara set, each set feeds four people from Kukus Steam Abyss in TDDI. Answer this question. Which story is featured in this year's Shakespeare Demystified? 016-201-9000. Don't forget your full name, your IC, and why you deserve to win. When we come back soon, Heng, I want to talk a little bit about how more people can kind of delve into the world of Shakespeare. Where could they dip their feet perhaps first? All right, we'll be right back. BFM 89.9, The Business Station. BFM 89.9, The Business Station. It is that time of night. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by Lim Soon Heng. We're talking about Shakespeare Demystified. Shakespeare Demystified itself is something that it's important to a lot of kids, right? How do we understand Shakespeare? Why should we understand Shakespeare? And how is it important to the arts?
Well,
it's a broad question, but I know you can answer it.
I mean, Shakespeare, as far as the English language is concerned, is such an icon.
Yeah.
And the fact that his plays are so, well, they're performed, you know, I don't know how to answer that question. You know, sometimes you can think of it as that, you know, Shakespeare is performed because his plays are relevant.
Right.
Or that he's so important that they are performed all the time, and so you think that they have to be relevant.
Right.
And if you don't understand them, then something's wrong with you.
Right.
So you kind of avoid them. So that's
a lot of people are scared of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some have said that, you know, Shakespeare has, in a way, killed the joy, the fact that he's so big, he's so large, that he himself has killed. But I don't think so. I think it's just a question of how we approach it. For the most part, schools are still teaching Shakespeare as text.
Yeah.
As, you know, this is literature. This is great literature. It talks about existential questions. Yeah, there's some humor here and there, here and there. But you have to fight through this very dense language before you can get anything out of it.
Right.
But, you know, there are two problems. One, the language is not current.
Yeah.
But if you know your linguistics, Shakespeare is actually early modern English.
Right.
And 95% of his words are still being used today, with the exception that we have made words a lot more narrow in their meanings.
Yeah.
For Shakespeare, sometimes you look even at an and or a but, this can function either way.
Right, right.
We have, you know, and is and, but is but.
Yeah, yeah.
Things like that. And of course, like just now we gave the example of the word cuckold. In Merry Wives of Windsor, folks don't understand what cuckold is because we don't use it. But amongst certain people who have a larger vocabulary, it's still quite current. You can say, that's one man who got cuckold.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So the idea, to teach Shakespeare, you got to get kids on their feet.
Yeah.
In fact, when I was teaching school in the United States, I also taught literature. And one summer, I got this scholarship to attend a teaching of Shakespeare through performance. And in essence, we, a bunch of teachers, were taken to a theater space in Ashland, Oregon, where they hold Shakespeare. And they have the wooded O, the globe built, you know, a replica. And we encountered, had sessions with the actors, encountered them, talked to them about it. And in essence, they said, you know, they provide us with a way of understanding the text which you will not get reading it as literature in the classroom, because at the end of the day, these are scripts. These are what you need to say to somebody.
Yeah.
It's not about just reading it in the classroom.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when I first did it in the classroom, we were reading the Scottish play, of course. We read Midsummer Night's Dream. And it, as you say, it was one of those things that you did by rote, and people read two or three lines here and there. And it never really clicked for me. I mean, I enjoyed reading it, and it was one of those things that I thought to myself, I really want to enjoy it, but I find it a struggle. And then I was studying chemistry and biology and psychology and all of this kind of stuff, and realized that that wasn't for me. And I decided to do a performing arts course. And I met this incredible lecturer called Ian Rochard, and he literally turned my life around. He introduced me to Shakespeare properly. He started explaining things to me. And it was just one of those moments where things just clicked. And when you get into the rhythm of speaking in the lingo of Shakespeare, and you interpret the words as if they were modern language, it becomes this beautiful kind of way of talking to people, right? But the literal one turnaround I had is I went to see Derek Jacobi performing in King Lear, right? Mm. And it was an outdoor performance at a castle, of all places. And I was sat in the audience absolutely rapt from the moment he came on stage until the end of the entire performance. When something grabs you like that and makes you understand just how important the arts are and how it can change your life by seeing something like that and understanding something like that, that's something very special.
Because in the classroom, you're hearing it from your classmates who are probably encountering reading Shakespeare aloud for the first time.
Yeah.
So as a student reading the text, you might not understand what the motivations are, where this person might be, and what's the relationship between the speaker and the person who's listening. So a lot of things get missed. So in a classroom, you're probably just going to, you know, taking a verse from Merchant of Venice. Signor Antonio, many a time in the Rialto, you have rated me about my monies and my usances. I guess that's how students would read it.
Yeah.
But when you know that the relationship between Shylock and Antonio, you know, Shylock is the Jew,
yeah,
Antonio the Christian, there's great animosity between them. Then you can perhaps say, look, you know, here this Jew resents this fact that this is the guy who spits on him,
yeah,
who kicks him, and now he's here to borrow money from him.
Yeah.
So the sense could be, Signor Antonio, many a time enough in the Rialto, you have rated me about my monies and my usances. Still have I borne it with a patient shrug. For sufferance is the badge of all our tribe. You call me misbeliever, cutthroat dog, and spit upon my Jewish gabardine, and all for the use of that which is mine own. Well, then it now appears you need my help.
Yeah,
you know, and suddenly it has a different feel to it. It's not just reading words.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Now, we did get you to record a little piece, didn't we?
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play that now. And for those of you who are listening at home, particularly some of you who are at school, I'm guessing that some of you will have had to perform this or read this a few times. This is Sun Heng. Have a quick listen to this. It sounds a little bit like this.
Is this a dagger which I see before me, the handle toward my hand? Come, let me clutch thee. I have thee not, and yet I see thee still. Art thou not fatal vision, sensible to feeling as to sight? Or art thou a dagger of the mind, a false creation, proceeding from the heat oppressed brain? I see thee yet, in form as palpable as this which now I draw. O marshalless me, the way that I was going, and such an instrument I was to use. Mine eyes are made the fools of my other senses, or else with all the rest. I see thee still, and on thy blade and dungeon gouge of blood which was not so before. There is no such thing! It is the bloody business which informs thus to mine eyes. Now over the one half-world nature seems dead, and wicked dreams abuse the curtained sleep, witchcraft celebrates pale Hecate's offerings, and with it murder. Alarmed by his sentinel, the wolf who howls his watch, thus with his stealthy pace, with Tarquin's ravishing strides, towards his design moves like a ghost. Thou sure and firm set earth, hear not my steps which way they walk, for fear thy very stones prate my whereabouts, and take the present horror from this time which now suits with it. Whilst I threat he lives, words do the heat of deeds too cold breath gives. I go, and it is done. The bell invites me. Hear it not, Duncan, for it is a knell that summons thee to heaven or to hell.
Now then, for some people that might be quite heavy, right? They might not fully understand what's happening in that one scene. Explain to me.
It's very clear what's happening. This guy is on the way to kill somebody. Mm. And he has this hallucination. He sees a dagger floating towards him, the handle towards his own hand. And so he has this little dialogue. Am I seeing this? Is this real? Is this not real? Why am I seeing this? Is it because I am so full of this murder in my head that my mind has conjured up this thing that I'm seeing? So art thou something that I can see but I cannot touch?
Yeah.
And then, of course, he goes into this very difficult for us in terms of our lack of understanding of Greek mythology, Greek stories. And that's where the other challenge is about reading Shakespeare or studying Shakespeare or working with Shakespeare. Today, we don't read the Bible. We don't read Greek mythology, Roman mythology. As a result of that, we have all these holes. He makes allusions to Hecate. Who's Hecate? Hecate is somebody who has magical powers. He makes allusion to Tarquin. Who the heck is Tarquin? See, he's talking about Tarquin taking quiet steps because Tarquin is this guy who talking one evening to his best friend, and his best friend was kind of talking about his wife, how wonderful she is, how beautiful she is. And then Tarquin goes to see this young man's wife, Lucrece.
Yeah.
And as a result that, she invites him to dinner. She said, look, oh, my husband's friend. And in the course of this dinner, he gets so worked up. And after dinner, he's just wrought with... horny is the word, right?
Yeah.
And he goes into her chamber. And with a dagger at her throat, he says to her, give in to me.
Yeah.
Or else I'll kill you, and then I will kill one of your slaves and put him next to you so that the shame is apparent.
Yeah.
You know, that you have, I had to kill you and this slave because I caught you in bed with him because I'm a very good friend of your husband's.
Mm.
So those kinds of things are suddenly not in our heads because we don't know these stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's been alluded to. So he's talking about here I'm walking in at night and everything's kind of quiet and I am going towards a room where lies my victim and everything has to be done quietly like somebody about to go rape somebody.
Yeah Okay, now I was going to do smarty pants afterwards, but now I'm kind of not in the mood for that. I want to talk more about this. So what I'll do is that we'll take a short break when we come back. A little bit more exploration, I think. It's really important. It's a good conversation. Quick reminder, two giveaways. The first is two pairs of tickets to Crack House Comedy Carnival happening on the 27th April. That's a Thursday night at 10:30 p.m. featuring Aya Improv. What does the AI in Aya stand for? Send your answer along with your full name, your IC, and why you deserve to win to 016-201-9000. However, if you're feeling hungry, two Minta Gadara sets. Each set feeds four people from Kukus Steam Abyss at TTDI. Which story is featured in this year's Shakespeare Demystified? Send again your answer to 016-201-9000. Another short break. We'll be right back with Soon Heng in a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9, the business station. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is...
Soon Heng.
So we've been talking about Shakespeare Demystified. You had a little soliloquy there that we played. Explained a little bit for us.
Yeah, I must admit to that, doing a soliloquy in a studio without an audience.
Right.
And without anything else, sometimes it's a bit of a trick, yeah. But you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to be able to just crank it out.
Right. It can be difficult to do it when you're by yourself and there's nobody. I found it's better if somebody sat opposite and you're performing to somebody.
And on top of that, you know, we are doing this in the middle of work, right?
Yeah,
we just
right.
kind of just had an interview with somebody.
Pull
about
you
something
in.
Totally different.
Your
and
mind
you just
is elsewhere. I know how it works. Right. So this is the seventh production of Shakespeare Demystified. Is that right?
Yeah, seventh production.
Right.
Yeah.
And this time you're doing it here in KL, and then you're off up to Penang as well.
No, we're going to Penang.
Oh, Penang.
First.
Sorry, I do apologize. Penang is on the 27th to 29th of April, right?
And then and then we come back and start in KL Pack 2nd of May through to the 7th of May.
Right. Before we get talking about where the venues are and how we can get tickets and all of that kind of stuff, right? What is it, Soon Heng, that drew you to performing in the first place, do you think?
You know, this is something I've done since I was knee-high.
Right.
Knee-high to a grasshopper. That's
right.
An expression I don't know if people
use it. I know it very well, yeah. I'm showing my age now as well.
And, you know, from doing little skits to annual school concerts and performances, and then went to school in New Zealand, participated in the drama club, and then when I was in college, took classes in theater, performed in college, and then community theater in the United States. And so it's like just...
It's something
it's
that
in
gets
the blood.
It gets inside,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I remember my first professor saying to me when I was invited to do Rashomon, and we had to keep a journal, and then in the course of writing the journal, he would have little dialogues with us, and then he said to me at the end of the production, he said, "You're not going to give this up. I can tell you that.
Right?
You are not. The bug has bitten you."
Yeah, I mean, I remember back in college when I always thought I was a terrible actor. I assumed I was a terrible actor. Then I went off and, like I said, I saw the Derek Jacobi thing, and I got back for the second semester. And we were taking pieces. What the lecturer wanted us to do was to take pieces of Shakespeare, some of our favorite scenes, shorten them and create like a montage of the pieces that we did. And obviously I chose King Lear at the time. And when I performed it, my lecturer said, "That's the best thing I've ever seen you do." And I think it's just because I'd seen somebody who was passionate about it, and that had got under my skin, because the only other access I'd had to performance or one thing or another in my very small town was seeing these really small theater groups who were just doing it for a bit of fun, you know, and there was no real passion to it. But when you see somebody so powerful and so... I don't know. It was like this lodestone that just kind of drew me in. But you're right. Once it's bitten you, it's very difficult to get away from.
Yeah. I mean, I cannot imagine not performing. And yet it's not without its own issues.
Yeah.
You know, I still get butterflies in my stomach as soon as I get on stage. And I have to go like, take a deep breath, you know.
Yeah.
And then calm down. And then... Every performance is like that.
Right.
You know?
There was one time I was performing as Judge Danforth in The Crucible, right? And as you probably are aware, he has a heck of a lot of lines. And there was one moment and I just completely went blank for what was probably no more than 4 or 5 seconds. But in your head...
It's like forever.
It's an hour. You know, and you're walking around and you're trying to get your head spinning and working. And thankfully, somebody just whispered one word and that was it. I was off again. But how do you deal with that?
In fact, this is one question we get a lot of every time we go to a school to perform. The kids would kind of at the end, because we also, part of our format is that at the end of the performance, we pull out some chairs, we sit down, and they say, "What questions do you have?"
Right.
And we'll try to answer them.
Which is a great thing to do.
Partly because we are also in the education space. And invariably, somebody say, "How do you guys memorize all those lines?" Hard work.
Yeah.
It really is hard work.
Yeah.
Nothing more. I encountered somebody who told me, he said, "What you do is that you learn the first line. Then once you can say it without feeling any tension in your neck, then you go to the next line."
Right.
Then you do the first line and the second line.
Yeah.
And you just keep progressing. And he says you can do a page an hour that way. I'm not quite that fast.
No.
A page an hour.
No. I've not done it for some time, but I do remember it being very, very difficult. But the sense of achievement afterwards, you know, when you're going through your rehearsals and you're doing your tech rehearsals on one thing or another.
Yeah, with contemporary plays, it's easier to kind of ad-lib when you are lost.
Yeah.
You know, you just say, okay, I have this sense. But with Shakespeare, because of the meter,
yeah,
sometimes it becomes a real problem.
And you know there's somebody sat in the audience saying, he didn't say that quite right. You
because
know.
A lot of people have memorized the canonical
yeah.
speeches.
Yeah.
So you cannot just... You know, when I was last year was Shakespeare's big year,
yeah,
400th anniversary of his death. And as a result of that, this whole town had all kinds of performances. MPO had a performance. KL Park had a whole year, every month something Shakespeare happened, from Shakespeare with jazz, Shakespeare classical music related to Shakespeare. Of course, our own performance last year of Merchant of Venice. I remember when I was with the MPO, we did some scenes from Romeo and Juliet, Henry V, All the World's a Stage. All that. And when I was saying those lines and I looked out into the audience, there were people who were mouthing those lines with me. And you can't... That is enough to drive fear
yeah.
into you. Like, my God, if I miss something here,
yeah.
somebody will just say,
okay, of all of the things that you've performed in Shakespeare, who and what do you think is your favorite character?
I've always loved the tough guys, or the guys
right.
who are a bit maligned. I love Shylock.
Yeah.
I love Iago.
Yeah.
Macbeth is a character that I'm not sure yet. I would love to play King Lear.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to see that. Actually.
I like the tragic character.
It's such a tragedy. It's such a tragedy. Now, the other thing is, how many of you are performing in this actual? Because there's not a lot of you, is there?
Five of us doing all the roles.
Oh my word. So a page a day it is then, is it?
Yeah, something like that.
Something
yeah.
like that. Yeah. Who else is in the performance?
Jit Yang.
Yeah.
Veteran N. James. Tika Mutemir, who is a young actress, but who's been around in town the last few years, the last 3 years. And she just got a position to go to UK to do her master's.
Brilliant.
So after this run with us, she's going to take off.
She's leaving you.
Yes.
And who's directing?
Directing, and now, of course, one more, David Lim.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And director Lim Ken Lee.
Ah, okay. Good stuff. Right, we have to take another short break, but when we come back, we're going to tell you where you can see these performances, how much the tickets are, and all that kind of stuff. Quick reminder, though, two pairs of tickets to the Crack House Comedy Carnival, 27th of April, that's a Thursday at 10:30 p.m, featuring Aya Improv. What does the AI in Aya stand for? Send your answer to 0162019000. And, of course, if you're hungry, two Menta Kadara sets, each set feeding four people, at Kukus Steam Abyss in TTDI. Question is, what story is featured in this year's Shakespeare Demystified? Same rules apply. 0162019000. We need your full name, your IC, and why you deserve to win. We'll be right back in just a couple of minutes. BFM 89.9, the business station. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. My name is Rich Bradbury. We're joined by...
Soon Heng.
I'm not scared him off yet. He's still here until 4 p.m.
4 p.m.
4 p.m., 10 p.m. Now, we've just said, just in the break, that I don't think we've mentioned the name of the play.
We're not supposed to.
No, I don't think we have. I don't think.
So, but we've provided enough clues.
I think so.
Yeah.
There's daggers, there's death, there's
yeah.
witches.
Yes.
There's plenty of storms. Lots of bells.
Lots of bells, yes.
All kinds
yes.
of things happening, right?
Yeah, which mostly lots of witches.
Mostly lots of witches. So
but the same witches.
The same three witches, in fact.
You know what? They are never mentioned as witches.
Although, no, they're not, yeah.
Yeah, they're called the Weird Sisters.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the stage directions, yeah, no, witches come in here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as far as any of the characters saying... calling them witches, nobody does.
Interesting stuff. Right. Okay, it's almost time for us to wrap up. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about the events that you're performing at. The first one, Epin Penang, 27th to the 29th.
Correct.
That's happening at Stage 2 Penang Park, right?
Right, right. And, you know, that's one of my most favorite places to perform. The acoustics in that place is incredible. You can speak softly. And so in that space, you can really do this, like, is this a dagger I see before me? And they can hear you.
And it will carry.
It will carry, but not so in KL Pack. But KL Pack is... Pentas 2 is much bigger.
Right, right. So KL Pack, of course, and Pentas 2, that's the 2nd to the 6th of May, 8:30 p.m.
2nd to the 7th, I think.
Yes, and then 6th to the 7th is at 3 p.m.
Ah, yes.
So, yeah, all the way through until 7. Ticket prices at Pentas 2, standard price is 55 ringgit. Students, disabled, seniors, and TAS cards at 45 ringgit. And group booking of a minimum of 40 people, that's 40 ringgit. Stage 2 in Penang Pack, 27th to the 30th of April, standard tickets 45, students, disabled, seniors, TAS cards 35, group bookings again, minimum of 40 tickets, 30 ringgit. Excited then?
Very much, yeah? Very much. But with some trepidation, as always.
You have to have that trepidation. You have to have that little bit of a tingle.
Yeah, it gives you the energy.
Yeah. Soon Heng, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you. You didn't ask me those kind of questions you said you were going to ask me. Thank God.
Well, I'll save that for another time. I know you've got plenty of stuff in your brain already, and you probably don't need anything else shoving in there right now. Right. I've been asking you a couple of questions all the way through the show. We are going to have to reveal the name of the show, play at some point, though, because it's the answer, technically. How do we do this?
Scottish play.
We could say it's a Scottish play, yeah. So the question was, to win two Mentekadara sets, the question was, which story is featured in this year's Shakespeare Demystified? Of course, it is the Scottish play. It begins with M and ends in Beth. There you go. That's the first one. The other one was to win two pairs of tickets to Krakow's Comedy Carnival on the 27th of April. What does the AI in AIA stand for? It is artificially intelligent. If you answer correctly, you'll be hearing from us at the end of the show. Now then, Soon Heng, break a leg.
Thank you very much.
Go off and have some fun. Do us all proud. And educate some people, please. Please. All right. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Thanks.
Come back anytime. Now, to play us out, what do we have?
Ah, this is a song that will be sung by one of us. You know, we do our music always. We do it live.
Yeah.
And it's a song done at a point when there are some people being killed.
Mm. All right. It's beautiful, though. It's beautifully done. Don't go anywhere, folks. Take a listen to this. We'll be back, of course, tomorrow from Deepest Darkest Banda Atama. It has been That Time of Night. Good night.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.